watched him command Chai to spread her legs, and he began to spank her sex, feeling an answering heat between her thighs when the woman begged and pleaded with him for more, and moaned when his erection pressed insistently against her side.
"Is that what you want?" Greg demanded. "Do you need it again so soon, baby?"
"Yes," Chai whimpered. "Yes, please, I need it again."
"Again?"
Swearing, Greg spanked her again, and then grabbed her hips and slid her around roughly.
"Good answer. Because I fucking need it too."
His cock, flushed with blood and need, disappeared inside Chai's sex with a powerful thrust.
"Yes," he shouted. "God, you are perfect for me."
Aziza couldn't believe what she was thinking.
"Greg is sexy."
West chuckled.
"Hush now. You already have more men than you can handle. Share the wealth. Look at them. All those two can think about right now in the midst of all this danger is what they found with each other. But Greg will be there when you need him. And you will need him. You'll need us all by the end."
When she looked back toward Ram, she moaned. His eyes were closed as he stroked himself, her name like a prayer on his lips. She wanted him, too. Wanted to go to him. Wanted to straddle his hips and ride him until she'd gotten him out of her system. Until neither one of them could move.
"Ram."
"Aziza Jane," West spoke firmly. "Look at the fireplace."
She obeyed and gasped again.
"It's the desert from my dreams."
"Is that what you see?"
Aziza nodded. She always seemed to return to this place, the place where her line was born. West spoke softly as he helped her to a standing position.
"The place where all the lines converge, where things began, where they could end."
The world was in flames, the sky on fire above her head, and a thousand voices were calling her name, screaming for her help. She wanted to run, whether it was toward them or away she wasn't sure, but her feet were suddenly buried in sand. The same black sand that had changed her, that had given her its gift while taking her over from the inside out, was holding her in its grip and trying to pull her down. Bury her alive. She couldn't escape it. Knew she would never escape it. Soon it would be the only thing that remained, and everything Aziza was would simply disappear.
"No, Aziza."
West answered as if he could hear her thoughts.
"You aren't trapped. The Mayette already told you she isn't destroying you. She's a part of you. What you want, she wants. Your nightmares don't come from her. They come from your fear. Fear that you won't be able to handle what's to come. That you aren't good enough to be loved. That you aren't strong enough to save all those people calling your name. Your fear is holding back her truth. A feather can fly, carried by a soft wind, but it's torn apart in a storm."
Aziza was the center of the storm. So this was all her? The bodies, the sandstorms, her endless nightmares? She knew the sand held a darkness. She could feel it. It wasn't just her fear.
"You have that in common, Aziza Jane. She was born in darkness, and her fury was unappeasable. For a time, that was all she was. Righteous rage and knowledge. It was the knowledge that saved her, shaped her, and she used it to save us all. That's what is inside you. A gift of knowledge so that you can follow in her footsteps. You are the one, Aziza. She chooses you. Not because of your family, or because you were the last available Aimu. You were always the only choice. Your soul. Call upon Mayette's truth now, here. Can you feel what I'm saying is right?"
She called, allowing her mind to clear and her body to still in its struggle with the sand. She let go of everything. Everyone. Brandon, Ram, Greg, Chai, and Penn, even West. In that moment she heard the voice, the whisper of the wind.
"Show me,"
she whispered back. In an instant, her brother Adam was standing beside her and smiling, his old-fashioned, clunky camera in his hands.
Hey, sis. You like puzzles, right? One last mystery for you from me.
It is your destiny to find his portion as well, to accept my gift.
Why are they so afraid of me taking more than my share? What could happen?
See what you can do. Her head was filled with images. The sky shimmered all around her. In one direction she saw Kaf, mountains of emerald glittering beneath an orange sun, and she knew those mountains circled the world and were filled with vibrant life. In another, the floating cities of Nir sparkling under the light of a white star, each one built around a large pool of what looked like liquid silver. She could go there, she knew, to both or neither. She could watch them and walk among them, stroll the loud, colorful markets of Kaf and visit the pale, reflective lakes where the first introspective Nir learned to focus their minds. She could see beyond their worlds to the others. Aziza saw. Beyond the Djinn and Nir there were more. So much more. More worlds. More life. And in between those worlds there were currents she could travel along. The ones Chev had mentioned. Nothing would be closed to her. Nothing could be hidden from her. No one could stop her. But she could stop them. She understood that it wasn't just three worlds she was trying to save, but all of them. Everything was connected. If she misused her abilities or failed, the ripples would spread until every dimension, every universe was lost. Salvation or annihilation. Dern was right. It was more power than any one person should ever have. A woman bathed in fire appeared in the desert, a few steps from Aziza. The Mayette in human form.
It is too much power.
Her voice was more than the wind through the reeds now, but Aziza recognized it. Which is why you must be the only one to possess it. The Mayette shapes the sand, but no one knows how the sand will shape the fireborn. No one but you. Your heart will shape us both. Do not let them use it against you. Do not let them take the power away from you. Do not trade it to save a single life. The gift and the sacrifice are yours alone. In another's hands, it means the end. She nodded, though she wasn't sure she understood.
Why did the Djinnir want to break the treaty? What is Razia trying to retrieve?
The Mayette moved closer. You were told. It is not what, but who. When the Fireborn and Keeper were created, when the treaty was sealed with blood, a greater sacrifice was required to ensure the Nir and Djinn would keep their vows of peace and leave this world undamaged.
Who was sacrificed?
Two. One from each side. A commander of great power and charisma. A legend among the Djinn, known for both excessive violence and abundant generosity. They call her Mother. And a brilliant and compassionate scholar who volunteered for the sake of humanity, disregarding the Nir's thirst for cold, logical conquest. Some have forgotten, but many still whisper his name. The Whispers. Jibril. The two sacrifices were Jibril and the Mother of the Djinn? Were they killed?
Their sacrifice is eternal. In a way, they cannot die. They are here, treasures hidden from their people. The mind and the soul. The Djinnir believe the broken treaty will reveal their location. That if the Fireborn can be corrupted, or chooses a side other than humanity's, they will win. But some want more than the end of the treaty. Some want simply to destroy.
Aziza was dizzy. Nauseated.
What's happening?
West's voice told her he was right beside her. It's wearing off. I didn't use much. I wasn't sure how it would affect the others.
He pressed her hand firmly against his chest.
Aziza, do you feel my touch? Do you know where you are? Open your eyes.
I'm here.
What's happening?
Greg's voice was garbled and hard to understand. West laughed when Aziza looked around to find the coffee table in its original spot and Chai's head resting against Greg's knee where they'd both been sitting, fully clothed, the entire time.
It's all good, Gregory. You drank too much and fell asleep on the couch.
Ram got to his feet and crossed his arms suspiciously.
I don't remember drinking a damn thing.
West winked at Aziza.
I think I should brew some coffee. Our friends obviously can't handle my tequila cocktails.
He moved to stand and she gripped his arm. Was that the truth? Was it real? Or had she been dreaming like everyone else?
What do you think, Aziza Jane? In the end, that's really all that matters.
Chapter 12.
You have to let me say it.
Aziza rolled her eyes. Fine, say it. Greg smiled as he helped her into the Alpha's luxurious limo and climbed in beside her.
You are one smoking hot fireborn.
Aziza looked him over. Thank you, Mr. Prophet. Do you feel better now? You're looking pretty amazing yourself. It had seemed so strange, getting dressed up like this, going to a party as if things were normal, as if she hadn't just alienated the werewolves or absconded with their suspect, as if the fates of three worlds didn't hinge on what she did next. What she'd seen under the influence of West's incense made it feel like everything had changed, yet nothing had. She'd talked to him about it, but he'd stopped her from telling him everything. The Mayette's words, he'd said, were for the Fireborn alone. He hadn't seen what she had, but the experience had connected them somehow. The sand was in her blood and under his skin, and so they shared a bond she didn't have with anyone else. He understood, in a way no djinn or human, other than Dern, could. She wanted to be home reading the books Dern had given her, but she had to come tonight. Not just to see Brandon or appease the Alpha. She had to show them she was in the right, that she wasn't afraid. From what she'd seen, werewolves appreciated a show of strength. Greg reached up to stretch out the starched collar of his dress shirt.
Are you sure we should be going to this thing? What if they arrest us as soon as we come through the door?
They won't. The Alpha would wait until his guests left. I'm the vessel, remember?
Fireborn, may I talk to you a moment? Sighing, Aziza leaned forward to look around Greg. Then her eyes widened.
Tay, what are you doing here? And holy shit, what are you wearing?
The Nier was still in the same form she'd been in the last time Aziza saw her, although there did seem to have been a few inches taken away from her waist and added to her breasts. Her platinum hair was different as well, loose and falling in silken waves down her back, laying like satin on her bare shoulders. She was wearing a strapless, shimmering gown that clung to her curves down to her waistline and then flowed out like liquid silver to the floor of the limo. Her Karen looked like Cinderella.
Wow!
Greg's mouth was open.
Wow is right. Tay, you're a goddess. An angel. I'm speechless.
Tay shrugged with a nonchalance Aziza knew damn well she didn't feel. I saw you dressing for the Fireborn's debut, and I didn't want you to feel awkward when I arrived.
How could we not feel awkward? Greg asked, looking bemused. You outshine us all, Tay. Hillary and Penn are in the limo behind us, but if they could see you, I know they'd agree.
Aziza had a gut feeling that she needed to intervene before Tay misunderstood his habitual, meaningless flirting for something else.
Greg, babe, I think she came to talk to me, so wipe the drool off your chin and get in a comfortable position.
Greg frowned.
What? Why?
Then his eyes widened.
Oh, Aziza, you...
Stop. When he froze, she reached around him and touched the Nier.
Tay, what the hell?
Aziza pointed at her Cinderella outfit.
What the hell? You know they won't let you in, right? You cannot come to the ball. Tay shrugged again, absently touching the silk of her gown.
I told you. I watched you dressing. I thought the experience might be educational.
Aziza crossed her arms.
You thought Greg might like it. You thought it might finally make him forget that when we first met you, you looked like a creepy little boy vampire who could suck out his brains.
Tay pursed her lips. The whisperers have heard rumors that are making them nervous. She was obviously changing the subject, but Aziza couldn't afford to call her on it at the moment.
What rumors?
The Janir almost have something they shouldn't, something they must never have. They believe that one among their number is an unspeakable who drove himself mad to see a glimpse of the future and learned enough to guide them in the right direction. They also believe a high-ranking djinn is helping them get what they need.
Aziza sighed. What scares me most is that what you're saying makes sense, except for the unspeakable thing. There's a book about djinn blood rituals that isn't supposed to exist, and something about soul casting that I'm guessing you know nothing about.
Tay flinched, the strongest reaction she'd ever seen her Karen reveal.
Soul casting? Is that what they've been doing to those women?
Aziza reached over Greg to pat her arm gently.
I think the less you know about it, the better, don't you?
When Tay nodded, Aziza continued.
I appreciate the information, but you're more than aware I have a party to attend, a relationship to salvage or destroy, and an oily alpha to take it down a peg or two? Either that or I'll be arrested by the them police. It's not a party if you're not playing Russian roulette, right?
Does he love her? That question stopped Aziza in her tracks.
What?
Tay looked down as if braced for a blow.
Does he?
Chai. She was talking about Greg and Chai.
They just met, Tay. But I have to be honest, I've never seen him like this. I know he's closer than I can remember him ever being before.
She spoke as carefully as she could.
You'd like her. I like her. She makes him happy, I think.
She doesn't know who he is. There was no emotion in Tay's voice, but Aziza could feel it. Pain, hurt, confusion mixed with jealousy. And she makes him happy because she reminds him of you.
She's better than I am, Tay.
Aziza laughed softly, thinking of Ram's words again.
Less fatalistic. And she sees him the way he's always wanted to be seen. She thinks he's hung the fucking moon. And she's nowhere near as damaged as I am, despite what she's been through.
I think you're wrong about her. She is damaged, and she's distracted Gregory Prophet from his path.
What exactly is his path, Tay?
Aziza sighed in frustration.
Can't it just be success and marriage and tons of babies? Can't he be left out of this great destiny bullshit?
Tay tilted her head. You still think his presence is a coincidence, because he's human? Your line was human before the sand changed it. Why do you think it chose a human to be justice?
I think she chose a human because it affected our race the most. What happened during the war, the treaty, the reason she came to be in the first place.
When our minds touched, Gregory saw the whispers, and I saw something inside him, something he was just beginning to feel, to know. Aziza moved closer, listening intently.
What did you see?
We believe it. She chose a human because she agreed with Jibril, the man that had the potential to be the superior being. More empathy than the Nir, more control than the djinn. The potential, if they could overcome their violent tendencies, for true balance. She knew when Tay said, we, she meant the whispers. Who were they, really? Were they like the djinnir? No. She didn't believe that. Jibril had apparently given his life voluntarily to forge a peace. It was admirable. She wished she knew more about him. The whispers did have a problem with their sources, but Aziza didn't think this was the right time to tell her. Right now, she wanted to know more about what Tay saw in her best friend. He's necessary. I get it. I agree. But I don't think for the same reason. I'm not sure what you expect me to do. Should I tell him to stop seeing Chai? To spend more time with you? Just tell me what you think I should do.
You would never do it.
Tay gave her the impression it was already something she'd thought about. I just thought you should know. Gregory needs to be with you when it matters. He needs to be at your side so he can see it all unfold. Don't push him away to protect him.
You should really know me better than that by now, Tay.
Aziza's words were soft but determined.
I'd do anything to protect Greg, even if that means pushing him away.
That is what we are all afraid of, Fireborn. Your emotions. You let your heart make your choices.
Aziza looked down at her hand and focused on making the mark fade.
You should go, Cinderella. Mama has to party.
Time to burn down the house.
She slipped her arm through Greg's as they started up the candlelit walk toward the ridiculously intimidating home of Brandon's father, the Alpha. She hadn't known the party was being held in a mini castle. All that was missing was the moat.
Oh, yes, this should be fun.
Do you think he invited the queen?
Greg whispered as they neared the flag-lined entrance.
If a marching band playing God Save the Queen appears at the door, I'm going to be in vulgar American heaven. I've always wanted to meet her.
I don't think the werewolves would invite the queen to my party, this time. I heard they were too worried I'd accidentally set her hat on fire.
Really?
She smirked.
Not really. God, you're not this gullible.
As they stepped over the threshold, they nearly walked into the wall that was Brandon's broad-shouldered uncle.
There she is, the guest of honor.
Devil smiled kindly and took her hand, bending to kiss it while lowering his voice. My brother has managed to keep Natalie quiet. I don't think he wanted his lieutenants to see the vessel taken away in chains. Be careful, Aziza.
Pin came up behind them, Hillary at her side, and grinned at him.
Look at you, devil. You should dress more often. You clean up well.
I think you're right, Devil winked. The Russian's Alpha's daughter is eyeing me like a Christmas roast.
Rolling her eyes subtly, Hillary said, Be careful, cousin. That she-wolf has been taking her training in diplomatic relations too far from what I've heard.
Aziza bit her lip to keep from laughing.
I thought you two were supposed to help me make a good impression.
You don't need any help, Aziza.
Brandon's voice made Devil turn and move out of the way, giving her the first view she'd had of him since Underbridge. Aziza watched Brandon move toward her slowly, taking in his larger-than-life frame encased in a crisp tuxedo, his hair tamed and beard newly trimmed. His gaze was enigmatic, but she could feel the heat coming off of him. God, what he did to her. It only took her a moment to notice the swiftly healing slash down his left cheek.
What happened?
Had she ever seen Brandon injured? It made her stomach hurt. How did you get that? He took her hand and pulled her toward him, oblivious to everyone else.
We should talk.
They did need to talk. About what they'd done in the bathroom at Underbridge last night. What he'd confessed to knowing about. How despite the pressure from Natalie and his own instincts, he'd let them take Ram.
I don't think there's time. Pin murmured from behind her. We made it past the door. Now we only have 5 more hours to worry about.
Aziza's eyes widened.
5 hours?
She hissed. No one had told her this would go on for 5 hours.
Help!
Brandon bent down to murmur in her ear.
Aziza, he'll expect me to escort you in.
The Alpha will expect it? Did that mean it was the last thing he wanted to do?
She took his arm. Let's do this, then. Once it's over, you can tell me about that cut.
The musicians were still playing softly in the background, but all the voices stopped and every head turned as soon as she entered the room. Nostrils flared and eyes widened. Gotta love a werewolf party, she thought to herself with a sigh. At least I put on clean underwear.
Brandon escorted her through the room with her hand resting on his outstretched arm as if she were a debutante. Royalty. She even had the entourage behind her. Devil and Hillary, Greg and Penn. She'd never been so uncomfortable in her life. And the cherry on top of her happiness cake? The Alpha was standing expectantly at the end of the long room. Oh, joy. She needed to find Blade's killer, not go to prom. This will help, she told herself firmly. This would allow her to find out where they were getting their intelligence and how they arrived on the murder scenes so quickly. This would stop the Alpha from punishing anyone who helped her. My honor. The Alpha placed his arm along his waist and bowed formally. When he straightened, he raised his voice for the gathering to hear.
Our honor to welcome the Vessel of Fire into our midst.
The crowd clapped until he raised his hands.
She is the embodiment of all we have stood for over the centuries, a balm to our old souls, reminding us to be unwavering in our quest for justice.
Aziza glanced up at Brandon, wondering again how they could share the same DNA. The older Nash was milking the crowd with a bit more enthusiasm than she'd been expecting.
Think of it. Now, in this time, with all of us to witness it, she appears from legends of smoke and fire to lead us all to victory.
The Alpha placed his hands behind his back and lowered his head.
But we know what this means, don't we? What there can be no victory, no winning of the day without.
The crowd murmured nervously, riveted on the Alpha.
The vessel comes to warn us of war, he droned on, to let us know there has been or soon will be a violation of the treaty, a violation by the very same unnatural abominations we have spilled our blood and that of our children to expel from our soul.
He let his words sink in with the perfect timing of a stage actor.
I've spent many sleepless nights with the Archivist since my son saved the new vessel from the evil laying in wait to take her from us. I have pored over ancient texts, going back to a time we have all but forgotten. A time when we weren't bound to serve out our tools as enforcers. When there were no laws but instinct and primitive passions.
He pointed to Aziza and lifted his voice again.
The vessel made us who we are. Shaped us into her army, gave us purpose, guided us to make our pacts with the royal families of humanity, those pacts we still hold to this day, giving us the ability to protect our homes. She did all of this, created the foundations of our thriving society so that we may aid her as she cleanses the Shiners and demons alike with fire and judgment.
His gaze turned beseechingly, and Aziza desperately wanted to take off her shoe and throw it at his head. She understood why Brandon's arm had become so tense it felt like it was made of stone. His father was a tool, mocking her, mocking them all, stirring them up. Couldn't they see it?
How do we thank her? How can we express our gratitude for her return and the renewed vigor she will bestow upon us with her powers? Guests, fellow family leaders, we must put aside our pride, our own selfish need for status and wealth. We must know her, humble ourselves before her. We must all willingly leave our lives behind and become enforcers again, young and old alike. For according to our own records, her return signals nothing less than that. According to our history, the vessel is the true Alpha, the last Alpha.
Aziza watched in horror as the people around the room began to kneel, cocktail dresses, tuxedos and all. No, this was not happening. The man who'd forbidden any werewolves to talk to her or work with her, the man who'd been responsible for Brandon's absences and treated her like she was a brainless twit, had not just gotten this crowd to fall on their knees like she was their new messiah. She remembered what Chev had said about his loyalties. What kind of game was this man playing now? What was it he wanted from her? Did he actually think this was what she wanted? To get a badge that said Honorary Alpha and lead them off to victory? From what she'd always understood, war was what her line had been created to avoid. She was meant to ensure it never happened again. She wasn't meant to bring it about. She looked up at Brandon, but he was no help. His attention was focused like a laser on his father, who, when he made sure all his other guests were on their knees, fell to his. Now that was a son of a bitch. Aziza looked around at all the faces watching her with everything from wolfy adoration to skepticism to barely veiled contempt and wished desperately for a drink. There were so many ways she could go here, all of them no doubt disastrously wrong. Too bad she couldn't text the Queen and ask what she'd do in a situation like this. For an instant, she could see herself ending the Alpha's game and simply walking away, or incinerating him where he stood. But he had just returned all of them to active duty, and enforcers in mass and in chaos would only make the Janeer's lives easier and complicate her relationship with Brandon even more. She put the ball back in the Alpha's court. "It is my honor to be here in the home of the Alpha," she told him with a nod and a gracious smile. When he got to his feet again, the others followed suit and began to murmur amongst themselves. The Alpha straightened his jacket and smiled charmingly as he walked toward her, his hands outstretched to cup hers. "Aziza Stewart." He bowed his hand and gripped her hands tightly. "The rumors of your beauty did no justice to its reality. I understand why Brandon is so bewitched."
"Thank you for your invitation," she lowered her voice. "Did I do that correctly? Do you approve?"
He winked and moved closer, ignoring his son's sound of protest.
"I do now. I thought I'd scared you at our last meeting. I suppose I should have known better. Call me William, my dear."
Devil stepped up behind Aziza and muttered, "Billy, what exactly were you?"
"Devlin, I did not give you permission to speak, and you did not kneel before the vessel."
William was still smiling, despite his disturbing tone.
"This is not the night to test me with your disrespect."
Devil stepped back reluctantly, obediently. She didn't want to throw her shoe at his brother's head. She wanted to stab him in the throat with her pointy heel.
"Devil doesn't have to kneel to me, Alpha. Never. He is one of the most honorable men I've met in my life. He, Brandon, and Hillary saved me from the Janeer."
He hadn't released her hand, but she could see how her words affected him. He did not like his brother.
"Usurper."
"Devil will obey his Alpha in all things," he informed her. "Word of advice, you should be particularly pleasant to the Egyptian Alpha tonight. Do you know his full title is ruler where the vessel dwells? He'll have to change all his stationery."
William Nash smirked, and Aziza knew he enjoyed showing up the other Alpha. He'd obviously like nothing better than to rub the other guy's face in the fact that she was here in England. Looking up with him with an innocent enthusiasm that was entirely feigned, she said,
"I'd love to meet him. My father was Egyptian. In fact, I believe I am the first generation of his line to be raised in America. May I ask, is there an American Alpha here tonight?"
William's lips tightened.
"She's here."
"She?" That was promising. The testosterone in the room was overwhelming.
"The families in America have always been scattered at best, independent to a fault, and uncivilized, with no royal ties to speak of beyond their native legends."
William looked down his nose in a way that made her long to punch it.
"In the last 50 years, they've begun to organize themselves into a true family under an Alpha. I'm sure she'll find you before the evening ends."
"And your guest from Jordan? The one you said would be here?"
Brandon's grip on her arm tightened again, and she glanced up to see his eyes narrowed on his father. The Alpha nodded to a passing couple, a beaming, "Vote for me," smile on his lips.
"Oh, Ahmed, yes, shame, really. He was detained."
"Detained?"
Brandon spoke before she could.
The Alpha's smile altered subtly.
These things happen, Brandon. Perhaps if you'd informed me of my old friend's arrival, I could have made arrangements. But each day that we live, we learn from our mistakes.
Oh, the evil little bastard. She tried to find a ladylike way of removing her hand from his, but she was at a loss. Why was he still holding it? Was there a custom she wasn't aware of?
William, if you'll excuse me. It was a long drive. I need to powder my nose.
Of course, just past the kitchens.
Reluctantly, he let her go.
Brandon, you will stay. There are matters I must discuss with you.
Shrugging out of Brandon's hold, she did an awkward curtsy and spun on her heel, grabbing Greg's jacket as she passed.
Whoa, okay. I can powder my nose, too.
She saw several waiters carrying trays laden with full champagne glasses.
Grab one, Greg.
What, a glass?
A tray. Greg didn't hesitate.
On it.
After they passed the bustling kitchen, she pushed Greg ahead of her into the every woman's fantasy powder room. Only when she'd closed and locked the door did she take a breath.
Everybody is thinking it, but I'm going to say it. That is not Brandon's father.
Greg set the tray down and handed her a glass.
That's only true if this is a fairy tale or a soap opera.
She tilted her head back, chugging until the glass was empty, and then held out her hand for another.
I'm serious. How can he be? He's so...
She took another drink.
Pompous? Greg offered helpfully. Arrogant? Overdramatic? A stereotypical dickhead, not unlike our stereotypical evil villain Razia?
Yes!
She set down her glass and reached for a third, whacking his hand when he started to reach for one.
Get your own tray!
There are nearly 10 on here, Aziza Jane.
She sighed.
Maybe that will be enough.
Enough for what? Alcohol poisoning? Did you notice how much you drink around werewolves? Not that you were a teetotaler before.
She sipped the fourth glass more sedately.
I've noticed. I also noticed that he made sure Brandon's friend from Jordan didn't come, and within 5 minutes of my arrival made me personally responsible for everything ever done by or to his species and turned them into an army. She paused. I want to set him on fire.
Greg leaned against the door.
That would be rude, babe. He hasn't tried to hurt anyone. Plus, we've only just arrived, and he's already made you alpha over all the survey.
Sneaky.
I agree. He shook his head. I know you're not allowed to pick sides or anything, but I hate him more than I ever hated Ram. And that ass actually took over my body for a minute.
Chev called him a prick.
Ram?
The alpha. He smiled.
I miss Chev. Chai does this thing that reminds me.
Five?
Aziza chuckled.
Greg frowned. Five what?
She took a drink. 5 minutes before you dropped Chai's name into the conversation.
Says the woman who only knows how to say two words, Ram and Brandon.
He reached for a glass of champagne, daring her to bat his hand away.
I can't help it, Aziza Jane. She's... Well, she's fucking adorable, isn't she?
And she's not a dominatrix, so that's a plus.
His hazel eyes darkened.
No, she's not. Not at all.
She nodded regally.
Then you have permission from the Alpha of the Universe to make beautiful acrobatic babies.
Greg laughed.
As my Alpha commands.
Aziza saw a telltale shimmer and tensed. Instead of feeling nauseated or seeing the dark-eyed Nir bending over her, she found herself looking into a luxurious den with large pillows strewn across the floor and five people huddled close together. A sixth joined them as she watched. This one was as beautiful as she was familiar. She moved toward the opening and came through.
Chev?
Did someone mention my name?
Chev studied Greg with hungry eyes, her hand tracing the low neckline of her dress as she moved closer.
Did you say you liked me? Well, I like you, too.
She seemed like she was back to her old self, Aziza mused fuzzily. Then Chev stiffened.
I'm an idiot. Aziza, touch us both and call Mayat's witness now, before I'm eaten by wolves.
Aziza dropped her glass and reached for them both.
Stop.
Her palm and forehead burned, and she wove a little on her feet as she reached up to trace the mark out of habit. Chev started to pace the bathroom.
I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't paying close enough attention, I suppose. When I heard my name, I just thought, why not? I know better than this. Or I used to.
Are you off probation now? Are you back to Karen instead of interim observer?
Feeling affectionate, Aziza wrapped her arms around Chev's waist from behind. The champagne was definitely kicking in.
It doesn't matter. I'm just happy you're safe. We were worried.
Greg lowered his sandy brows in confusion.
We were? I wasn't worried. I didn't know there was anything to be worried about.
Gee, thanks. Chev glared.
I mean, why would I worry? You're Chev. You're kick-ass.
Aziza shook her head. Keep digging that hole, Greg. Who was worried, Aziza? Chev stepped out of her embrace and turned to grip her shoulders. Is there something I need to know? Aziza held out her hand, and Greg automatically placed a full glass in it. She loved Greg.
I'm worried, Chev. I'm alpha fucking everybody, and I'm worried.
Chev frowned. William Nash declared you the alpha. Sounds like a trap to me. I really hate werewolves. No offense to you or your aunt for your taste in bed partners, but they are either big, dumb, and mean, or manipulative, sly, and mean. They can throw as many parties as they like, own all the land in sight, but nothing will truly make them civilized. Aziza lifted her lips from her glass and nodded.
There was another trap. But you're okay, so they must not know Ram and I know.
Greg took her drink away.
Aziza Jane, you drank too fast. You aren't making any sense at all. Shit, Brandon is going to kill me.
What trap, Aziza? Chev held up her hand to shut Greg up. I've been thinking about Ram tonight. I know it's crazy because our connection is broken, but it felt like something bad was happening to him. Did something happen to him, Aziza? Aziza sucked her lower lip between her teeth.
Someone slipped a book about blood rituals and soul casting into the knapsack you gave me. Ram said, Chev wouldn't do that, she's perfect, and this is from a vault, or something like that.
Chev slapped Aziza's cheek. Hard. Focus.
Fuck, Chev! Fuck!
Aziza glared at her, tempted to return the favor with a flaming palm. The djinn shrugged. If you pass out drunk, your power goes to sleep as well. And I can't leave until I know what you're talking about. It's important, Aziza. I know it hasn't felt like I care, but I've been with you as much as I could. Sober yourself up. You're in a house full of werewolves who could kill Ram or me in a heartbeat and not care that the head of the Nash family bent his knee to you. She lifted her hand to her cheek.
Ouch! Fine, book! Blood ritual! Soul casting, locked away for 1,000 years. Better?
No. Chev was pale. That's impossible. The bag never left my sight. The only other person near it was Ram's sis. I have to go.
What?
Greg gripped her arm as Aziza looked on in surprise.
I don't know what the two of you are talking about, because once again, I've been left in the dark. But what are you about to do, Chev? I don't like that look in your eye.
Chev looked dangerous. Someone in Kaf wanted that book smuggled out. Smuggled here. That knowledge is beyond forbidden, beyond dangerous. Which means at some point recently I was up close and personal with a Janir spy. And I'm going to find out who it is. She disappeared before Aziza could stop her.
Shit!
Now there really was something to worry about.
Shit!
She focused on the fading hourglass and noticed how spinny the room had become. How sick she was feeling.
Greg, I think I had too much champagne.
A knock sounded on the door, and Greg spun around to unlock it, backing up just in time to avoid being hit when the door slammed against the wall. Brandon.
Aziza. Why do I smell gin?
She reached for a glass and lifted it with a hesitant smile.
Would you laugh if I told you it's not gin, but champagne that you smell?
Greg covered his mouth until he stopped smiling.
Brandon, it was her Karen Chev, a fireborne emergency. I promise it won't happen again. But I don't think you'll want to introduce her to anyone important for the next few hours. She's... well, you can see for yourself. I can.
Brandon looked so grim. She hated that particular expression. It meant she'd done something wrong.
Greg, will you help Devil keep an eye on Pen? I have Aziza.
When Greg left without another word, Brandon stared at her for long, silent moments until she broke.
Don't arrest Greg, okay? Just me, and I'm sorry. Really sorry. But nobody told me this was going to happen. The kneeling? Not a peep. How was I supposed to react to that?
She threw her arms wide open and shouted dramatically,
Yes! Yes, I am the vessel! Fill me, Alphas! Fill me!
None of us were expecting what happened.
The gold in his eyes deepened.
I've been so focused on this, putting off the gathering he wanted, the presentation that he would find a way to use to his advantage. I knew it would come eventually, and I thought if I protected you and ensured he was in a good enough mood not to behave irrationally. But it happened anyway. Not the way I expected. That he would shout from the rooftops what others were whispering due to their unhappiness with his leadership. That you were the true Alpha. Not that he would demand our entire species resume their duties as enforcers in a single night.
After our meeting, I wasn't expecting it either.
His jaw clenched.
I can imagine. And without knowing exactly what went on there, I apologize on behalf of the Nash family. But I am more concerned about his willingness to hand you any kind of leadership mantle before the others can meet you, get to know you. All they have now are old stories and your scent.
The scent of all of them. Jin and Nir, as well as human. All of them. Except Werewolf.
Devil is worried. And when Devil is worried, I'm worried. I'm also angry. William Nash made you a target in a room full of Alphas. I won't forgive him for that.
Do you think it's because of...
She didn't finish because she didn't have to. Ram. Last night. Escaping with and hiding a suspected murderer. Something she'd told him she would never do. Brandon looked away from her.
It is always about Ram in one way or another, isn't it? But this time I'm handling it so no one can question my diligence, and no one can punish you for showing favoritism.
Her stomach twisted into a painful knot.
How are you handling it?
By doing my job, Aziza.
His words were close to a growl.
The tattoos you love? There is one for every criminal I have captured and sent across the border. One for each time I've been forced to kill. I was proud of them until I fell for you. Honored. I've done my duty for my people and humanity. I always try to do the right thing. Now more than ever. Because of you. Can you trust my word, Aziza? Can you hear the truth?
She knew he was trying to tell her something important, but her worry about Ram drowned out everything else. For the first time in their relationship, she didn't trust his word. He'd lied about the murders. He'd lied by omission when he'd taken her at Underbridge. Was he lying now? She concentrated on the whisper of wind blowing through reeds, on her mental magic eight ball. How was Brandon handling it? Ram is being interrogated above you, locked in a room of iron and gold. Aziza shook her head, still dazed but sobering swiftly. Stumbling away from him, she opened the bathroom door.
You bastard, she whispered. You took him anyway. You let me think.
Brandon didn't reach for her, but when she took off down the hall without finishing, he followed her closely. She returned to the main entrance and sped up the stairs as quickly as her dress would allow.
Don't do this, he pleaded. I am handling it. This is the only way unless you want to start a war.
This is not justice. There was heat building inside her again, power rising, but now she welcomed it, wanted it. They had taken Ram, had lacked faith in her and ignored her advice out of ignorance and a hunger for violence. At the top of the stairs, she stopped. Which room? Her voice sounded strange, as if it didn't belong to her.
Aziza, if you'd listen.
That one. Aziza set her body ablaze with a thought, the sting of another betrayal feeding the flames. She touched the door, watched as the symbols twined around her arm. She could feel them on her face as well, along the back of her neck.
Open it.
Burn it down. The door was blown off its hinges, her fire bursting forth with the force of focused explosives as Aziza looked out through the eyes of the Mayette's fireborn, taking in the scene in an instant. Natalie stood off to the side in her elegant party dress, watching two well-muscled young men dole out punishment for questions Ram had no doubt refused to answer. He hung from iron handcuffs that dangled from the ceiling, his beautiful fallen angel face bloody and battered, his shirt clawed to shreds and dangling from his belt. The fury inside her swelled.
This is how my enforcers mete out justice?
Her voice rang in the room, sounding like an echo. Hollow. So angry it was almost cold. No more. Natalie backed up against the far wall, her flawless features frozen in apprehension.
I am obedient to the Alpha, she whispered. To the law. This is not law. This is hate.
Aziza lifted her hand and a blast of heat knocked the men beside Ram to their knees as she moved closer to him.
Aziza,
he mumbled through swollen lips.
You don't need to do this. Not for one exiled Karen.
He thinks they can protect you. He doesn't know they have a traitor in their midst. She reached up to touch the links of the chain, heating them until Ram's weight did the rest and he slumped to his knees on the floor. Then something happened. The presence inside her that always demanded more, always demanded justice, reached for Ram. No, she thought in momentary panic. But the sand soothed her. He released us. He gave us what we needed. We can do no less for him. The blue-white flames glowed more brightly, so brightly they almost hurt her eyes. Then, without conscious direction from Aziza, her hands cupped Ram's face. He gasped.
Aziza, what are you doing? How?
In the moment, a light, so bright all the enforcers in the room covered their eyes and turned away, hid his body. The two on the floor prayed for the vessel to show them mercy. Where had their mercy been? But she had no time for them. All she knew was the fire and the light. All she cared about was Ram. She saw him diving into the water to save Pen. Saw him with her on the roof before she took the second vial. She knew him, and what was inside her knew him too. Cared for him. Ram. When the light dimmed, he was no longer hunched over. His shirt was still shredded, but the bruises on his face were already healing.
Aziza, what did you do? He whispered. How?
She shook her head, not knowing how to answer him.
Time to go.
When she turned, Brandon was standing just outside the open door and watching her with an unreadable expression. But she could feel him now. His emotions. The regret. The lingering jealousy. The love. He moved out of her way without a word, and she walked past him with Ram close behind her. No one would dare touch him now. Greg, Penn, and Hillary, who were talking quietly with Devil in the foyer, went silent when the Fireborn descended the stairs, still burning.
Motherfucking hell, Greg whispered. We heard an explosion, but... Aziza Jane?
When she reached the bottom step, she turned toward the ballroom, listening to the thoughts of all the werewolves gathered inside
and the hatred that had been bred into them. Her arrival had only increased the zeal of the fanatics and had created dread and mistrust in those who craved change and peace. This time when they stilled and turned toward her, they had reason to fear.
"You call me yours."
Her voice rose in an eerie echo that filled the room.
"You claim me, but I will not claim you. You are not the children of justice. Your laws are twisted now, mutations of what they should have been, a travesty of justice."
She pointed at the floor in front of her and watched as a thin stream of fire ran along the polished hardwood. The crowd drew back and then gasped as the flames found the Alpha and encircled him, separating him from them.
"Your leader is twisted as well," she told them. "As long as he is the Alpha, you will be led from your true path, your true purpose. There was another meant to guide you, not in war, but toward true balance. I name Devlin Nash the Alpha."
William Nash's eyes were cold, more vindictive and malicious than afraid. The Fireborn smiled back at him.
"I did as you asked. The vessel was here, the Fireborn. Touch one hair of those under my protection again, and I will burn the world you say you built in my name to ash."
She willed the fire she'd started to die and watched in amazement as it diminished and then disappeared without hurting anyone, without hurting the Alpha, despite Aziza's personal desire. When she left the mansion with Greg, Penn, and Ram following at a wary distance behind her, she was the only thing still burning. Chapter 13. Aziza couldn't put the fire out completely. Not even when she was sitting alone with Ram and West in the back seat of the speeding limo. And it was speeding. Apparently, the Alpha's hired driver couldn't get them home fast enough for any of them. Someday, she might feel sorry for him. He hadn't wanted to take them anywhere until she threatened him with a fireball. Of course, he hadn't wanted to take them anywhere after, either, but he'd been too afraid not to. When West and Chai came running up from the street to catch them as the driver was opening the door, Aziza, or the Mayette, she still wasn't sure which, had ordered Greg and Chai to join Penn and Hillary in the other car and meet them back at the flat. The keeper's child and her exile were the only two she trusted herself to be with until she regained control. She didn't question the logic. It felt true. She studied her fingers and watched the flames cling to her hand and dance on her skin. It was beautiful, hypnotic, and it could heal others as well as destroy, a fact her blood hadn't revealed until she'd seen Ram's suffering. West, who was sitting on the opposite seat from her, and the still-silent Jen, leaned forward.
"Aziza Jane, before we get to your aunt's, I should tell you to expect Chai's heartfelt apology. Our girl is punishing herself more than anyone else for her part in Ram's capture."
Ram spoke up, his voice sounding raw and rough.
"There was no way for her to know a trip through the tunnels would end the way it did. I should have been paying attention. I should have been the one who went to the townhouse for more supplies."
West reached out and patted Ram's knees.
"I have to thank you for what you did, my friend. I went to meet someone and I didn't see it. I'm not sure why. I didn't think they would use her as bait, threaten her life unless you came with them."
Aziza tensed. They'd threatened Chai as well? Her anger sizzled again, her pain coiling around her like a living thing cutting off her air.
"It isn't her fault. Brandon and his enforcers were determined to exact their pound of flesh from Ram. Determined enough to try and get away with it right under my nose."
How could he? How could Brandon, of all people, have fooled her so completely? He loved her. She sensed the truth of it when she was there, but not enough to understand how much Ram meant to her, not enough to take her side.
"You are right, Ram," she whispered. "He's just like the rest of the dogs. Hate and violence are all they know."
Ram swore and reached out to grip her fingers, hissing when the flames burned his skin. She gasped and put them out with a thought,
Careful.
No, he growled. You need to be careful, Aziza.